Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, a little more than 2 weeks ago, we learned that the great Phil Robertson had passed. After a short battle with Alzheimer's, a terrible disease that's a thing that took my wife's father, it's hard. It's hard on the individual. It's hard on the family. I remember President Reagan when I met him. He was beginning to show signs of Alzheimer's. I was a much younger man then, and I saw him beginning to suffer. It's a terrible disease, taking otherwise powerful people and sucking the life out of them. But I wanted to remember Phil Robertson for the man that I briefly knew, the entrepreneur, the duck hunter, a man of great wealth, but also great humility and wisdom. So I went back, I rewatched the episode we did with Phil Robertson on the Economic War Room, where we interviewed him. It was the summer of 2019. It's been almost 6 years since we took that road trip to West Monroe, Louisiana, and in some ways it seems just like yesterday. We took the whole crew with us, and it was a blast. Our Pirate Money co-host, Mike Carter, he rode shotgun with us, and Mike is here with us now. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. I saw we were going to do this this episode, and I felt like I needed to get... You have your beard, although it's not a Duck Dynasty beard.
No, I don't think I can grow that.
I felt like I needed to get one of those fake beards just to wear today and honor him. I don't have that, but man, what a great experience that was, and what a great man he was and his family, and the impact that they're having even still today in America.
No question. No, it's been a wild ride these past few years. We had COVID in between, but I remember it so much. And that was a really big deal for us. We were a new show, and we got Phil Robertson's big name interview. He was at the height of his popularity with Duck Dynasty, and he just ended, I think, a 5 or 6 year run at the very top of the ratings. I think this was our first on-the-road episode that we ever did, and I was a little bit nervous starting out. So let's roll a clip and see the interview with Phil Robertson.
The Economic War Room took a road trip. We went to West Monroe, Louisiana, to meet with an entrepreneur, really a political expert, a Bible expert, all of these rolled into one, and we talked about economic warfare. So we've had an incredible opportunity to meet with Phil Robertson, the original Duck Commander. Welcome, Phil, to the Economic War Room.
So the purpose of the Economic War Room is to help people realize that money is a weapon that they can use. It's a tool.
Yep.
To bring people to
truth. It can be used for good or evil.
Good or evil, that's true. But if you can't, Luke 16:11 says that if God can't trust us with unrighteous mammon, he's never going to give us the true riches. We've got to use the money that we're given, whether it's two copper coins of the widow or whether it is Duck Commander and the wealth that you've accumulated, God calls us, or it's Donald Trump with the wealth he's accumulated, God calls us to use that as a weapon, and that's a purpose.
If you notice the mantra that the political parties have been using for years, it's a lie. It's just a bald-faced lie. Elect me, and everything is free.
Wow.
You don't have to do anything. Everything's free if you elect us. I've been hearing that lie, and you look at these countries that try this stuff, this socialism, which is just a second step into going into communism, and you look at it, at the murder, the degradation, the misery that's caused, and they just keep pushing it. And they owe it all to some philosopher named Karl Marx. And you're like, you're going to make Karl Marx the father of your thinking instead of the Almighty God in heaven?
And it is
avowed atheist. There's no God. And he just hollow and deceptive philosophy that never ends. To trust in Karl Marx, he's the one that will set us free.
And it's not even equal. Huh. So young people are buying it because they want things to be fair. I'll tell you, unfair is Hugo Chavez's daughter is worth $4 billion or something like that. And Hugo Chavez was just the communist dictator, right? Yep. He's elected as a democratic socialist.
Yep.
We're going to trust him, and he's going to make everything equal. Then how come when he died, and he started off broke, and when he died, his daughter inherited $2 or $4 billion, some huge amount of money? That's not fair. Yeah.
Not at all. Well, here's a good text that our listeners can zero in on. Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
You're like, just go with the flow. I told you just a little bit of down here, catching the fish. 30 cents a pound for buffalo fish, garfish, and Gasper Goo. 30 cents a pound. Scale fish. Your catfish, 70 cents a pound. So a number three wash tub, mounded up a little bit. $30 for that tub of fish if it was gar, goo, or buffalo. You get 70 cents a pound for the catfish, that's about $70 per hundred. You're like, life was good. So I caught the fish and I sold them until the duck call took off.
All right, stop a second. Mike, did you catch? I was a little bit nervous. I was with Phil Roberts. I'm trying desperately to get him to talk about economic warfare, and he wasn't biting.
But he did talk economics. And for a guy that didn't said, I don't know anything about economics, he was getting into the basics of true economics.
He was, but he wanted to talk about fish, really.
Yeah,
you know, he wasn't
his comfort,
biting.
It's his comfort zone.
we got out there into economics after that. In fact, when I first met him, the first thing that he says, I walk in, he refuses to even look at me. And he just screams out. Miss Kay was on the couch. She had one of their puppies, one of their dogs on the couch with her. He was sitting in his big lazy boy, and he was like, economics. I don't know nothing about economics. You know, so let me back
to
up.
To be fair, that was not the when you think about an economic summit or a conference, as we drove up to the swamp and were in his basically double wide there, and his passion is duck calls and duck hunting and little movie stuff, I guess little entertainment things out there. So, you know, there's probably a few of our audience members out there think economics. I don't know if I want to talk economics, but when you understand what it really is, everybody needs to understand this.
They do. And the Economic War Room covers so much more than that. It's on Blaze TV. To learn more, go to economicwarroom.com. But, you know, he was forced into this. How this all came about was I met Alan Robertson at a conference in Oklahoma City at a Hobby Lobby, actually. And he introduced me to Phil's. Alan is Phil's son, oldest son, pastor at the time. And then he introduced me to his cousin, Zach Dasher. And actually, at that moment, 2017, 2018, Duck Dynasty was ending, and they were looking to go on to CRTV, Conservative Review Television. And in fact, that's where they aired, was CRTV. And that later merged into Blaze. And I said, well, we're trying to get on Blaze TV. And you know, there's a long story there. But they said, well, you should look at CRTV. That's how we met them. And so we had maintained the relationship through the years, still have it, both great men. But I was pestering Zach. I really want to meet your uncle. I'd love to introduce him to Economic War Room and introduce him to our Economic War Room audience. And he said, well, you know, Uncle Phil, he's very focused on what he likes.
Oh, Kevin, you've met with President Reagan. You met with presidents. You met with all kinds of influencers. But there is something deep down inside that this was on your bucket list. If I could just meet with Phil, I'd love to do that.
Well, let me be honest. The reason I was – my kids watched Duck Dynasty, and they would recognize, you know, because they were young.
Oh,
and that's one
is.
Of the few. So they'd say, Dad, you met Phil Robertson. Yeah. You know, Uncle Si or Willie or any of them would have been big. But Phil was the top of the top.
Yeah.
It'd be like when we introduced him to Cinderella from Disney, you know, for kids' parties. We hired a girl that dressed up like Cinderella. I met Cinderella. It was awesome. I love my daughters. They're grown and moved on, but they were so great as kids.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about, Mike, I'm going to have to embarrass you a little bit and share the story about when you met and shook hands with Phil Robertson.
Well, let's just say a part of Phil Robertson wore off on me.
we're going to cover that right after the break. We'll take a break. We'll be back more with our tribute show to the great Phil Robertson, who passed away recently. But you're going to hear a story where, it's kind of surprising Mike met Phil after the break. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, Everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yes, and we're honoring the great Phil Robertson, who passed away, is now in heaven. His mind and his faculties are completely clear. When we met him, Mike, he seemed totally with it. He was quoting stuff from the Bible. He was quoting government stories, and it was amazing.
I was impressed with how sharp he is, and he's in heaven now, I'm sure he's in a mansion, and maybe it's surrounded by ducks. I don't know, but he had a tremendous impact, and it was just amazing to get a chance to meet him.
I can just imagine. You know, this isn't how it works. I know that. We'll be shocked with how it works, but I can just imagine St. Peter walking him up to a mansion. I don't want that.
Exactly.
Get me a double wide on the river. Yeah. So I was just telling the story. We met Zach Dasher, and he said, you should come on Conservative Review Television, CRTV, which was Mark Levin and CRTV, and Alan Robertson was on a show or starting a show there. Phil was going to be on that, and we were going to be on Blaze.
Yep.
And I remember I was certain. I'd heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, we're going to be on Blaze. And then Blaze turned us down after 18 months of negotiation. But we were open to go on CRTV. So we did. You know, you, Russell, and I got together, prayed, and said, what does God want? And we said, all right, we'll go forward on.
And let me clarify. Blaze turned us down. They turned down 10 other shows as well. We were one of the top shows. They just went a different direction. They're lost, but they came back and said, hey, you guys should fit on the Blaze.
They turned us down.
Yeah.
But what we didn't know is what God was doing behind the scenes. And so often that's true. You don't know what God's doing behind the scenes. You got to trust God. So I was disappointed when they turned us down. Did not know they were in merger talks with CRTV and that it was just easier for us to go as a new show on that platform to be brought on to Blaze. They couldn't tell us either. Cone of silence kind of thing. They couldn't tell us that we were going to be on Blaze. We just had to go the CRTV route. So we signed the contract with CRTV, and I think six episodes in or something, we got notified that they'd merged, and we realized they didn't reject us. They just wanted us to come in a different route. But anyway.
And to your credit and your spirit, you're like, I know God told me we're going to be on Blaze TV. And so it was amazing to see that turnaround so quick afterwards.
Yep. God's never wrong. Sometimes we just hear wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just don't understand, and we will learn in heaven, and Phil is learning in heaven right now. Anyway, Zach promised.
I'm trying to put off getting to the story you're going to get to. You can tell this, right?
Yeah.
No, we're going
on.
There, aren't we?
We are going there.
All right.
All right. So Zach finally arranged for us to meet and interview Phil, and Phil did not want to do it. And Zach was kind of honest with it. He's like, it's really not his cup of tea. He wants to talk about the gospel. He wants to talk about Jesus, and he wants to talk about ducks, right? But he arranged it. We drove to West Monroe, took the whole crew, loaded up. I mean, rented the biggest vehicle we could that was comfortable, put all the equipment in, drove to West Monroe, spent the night there, had a great dinner the night before at a really fine dining restaurant. It was really, truly good. It's a sophisticated community. I drive through there all the time. They now have a Quick Trip, which makes them extra good. It's a stop on our way to Jackson to see our daughter. Anyway, Zach forced Phil into it. We show up. You guys are sitting outside.
Oh, we weren't sitting. We were working hard, sitting up the crew, getting everything ready. You know,
correct. Not sitting, but outside the double wide I walked into.
In the swamp humidity of 120%. I think I had sweat just dripping down my face as I walked in.
You were setting everything up. I got to go in, see Miss Kay. She's sitting on the couch petting the dog. Her Miss Kay's kitchen is right there where all those fine meals are prepared. And Phil is sitting in the Lazy Boy, literally covered in duct tape.
Yeah, camouflage Lazy Boy.
Yes, and with duct tape. and a coat rack and an AR-15 yep. hanging on the coat rack. His shoes are off, barefoot, and he won't look at me. I know he does not want to talk to me. Yeah. He says, economics. Don't know nothing about economics, which is not true. He has 2 degrees, brilliant guy. He understands economics really well. He just doesn't want to talk about it. And he's rubbing his feet, and he keeps reaching in a jar of putting some lotion, let's say, on his feet. And he will not shake my hand. He won't even look at me until I sit down, and he says, I said, well, Miss Kay, thank you for having me. And Phil, it's an honor to meet you. And he's a little bit, he was.
Well, it's morning. It was early morning. And
I'm not
I think
giving
he woke him
any
up.
Excuses. He was awake. He was watching Fox News, the biggest TV I ever saw. And he's watching politics, watching Fox News going into it, just focused on it, not looking at me. And I said, well, he said, you're here to talk about economics. And I said, well, we only talk about economics because Jesus talked about money. What? And he looks over. I said, yeah, Jesus talked about money. He used it as a hook to get people into the gospel. That's what we do. What? I said, yeah, we're talking about things from God's perspective. Well, that's interesting. So we start talking economics right there with him. And he's warming up. He's being as kind as he could. He's opening up. And then you walk in right as he's warmed up and now yeah. he's interested in this.
He was excited. I'm like, yes, this is going to be a great show.
And the first thing he does is you walk over to say, hey, everything's set up outside. Phil reaches out his hand and you stick your hand in his and you give a very warm handshake.
It was a great handshake.
And I look at you, Mike, and I say, Mike, put your eyes down here. That lotion he's putting on his foot, it literally has... It's got like a tape on it that says toe fungus cream. That was on written on it
right here,
on the
hand,
masking
folks.
Tape on a toe fungus cream.
No fungus. It has been washed and sterilized many times, but healthy fingernails. I'm okay.
You say, we're all set up. Phil shakes your hand and he walks out and I walk out. I point you to the toe fungus and I saw you burst to Miss Kay's kitchen, and you are scrubbing your hands in her sink.
Just normal etiquette. Yes, I might have been guilty of that. It was my experience that I will never forget, and you will never let me forget.
I will never let you forget that. That is one of the great stories, the Economic War Room, and the great Phil Robertson story. It's so true, and it fits him so perfectly. You've got a PhD genius intellect wrapped up in a body that has a beard that looks like he's, you know, well, hillbilly would be kind, redneck, Kate, you know, whatever term you want to use. And he's there and he gets off with a great interview and I'm kind of nervous as a cat interviewing him.
it was a great experience. I bought at the store. I bought my Duck Dynasty shorts, and we had a little duck call stuff. So I still have that memorabilia around. I see you brought some out here.
Phil Robertson bobblehead and the original Duck Commander duck call. You know. So anyway, we've got some clips to honor him. Let's run one of these and hear Phil's thoughts on healthcare. And we'll understand. This is before Maha. Go ahead.
People scurry and they say, well, we need universal health care. We're health care for everyone, health care for everyone. I said, I never had health insurance for 50 years. The first 50 years I was on the earth, I didn't have any health care insurance at all. Someone says, well,
what did you do?
What if something had happened?
Yeah.
I said, it didn't. I said, I didn't pay. I said, I remember a time when I was a boy, no one had health insurance.
Yeah.
No one. Most of your ailments and all were taken care of right there. If it was the gash was too big in your leg for someone not to tape it together where it would stay, you went to a little clinic. And I remember going in there, I had a right leg, a big bolt on a thing. I fell as a child. It ripped a big hole in my leg. I remember him gathering up saying, yeah, might ought to take him to the clinic. So we'd go up there. Dr. Pardee was there. He walked out. He said, yeah, I can sew that up, Merritt. That's my mama's name, Merritt. So look, they would sew us up if it was a deep cut. And when the doctor would say, you know, I've got him ready to go, and my mama would say, how much do I owe you, Dr. Pardee? And here's exactly what he would say. About a buck. She'd reach in her purse, give him a dollar. We'd walk out and get an old raggedy car.
Yeah.
Drive back to the woods. That's the way healthcare. You see, you just didn't.
Well, healthcare now is third-party payer, right? The government pays for everything, which means nobody's looking out for what it costs or what they're doing or anything else. And that's the problem with third-party pay and universal healthcare.
If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You're like, do what? America has lost the ability to be content. They're always nervous. They seem to be mad when they get up in the morning and they have their hand out. The young people especially, you're like, who's gonna help me? What you owe me? Entitlements, just the word. They're entitled because they're alive and breathing on planet Earth. So government moves in instead of godly people just helping their neighbor out.
You know, that's Phil. And his solution for toe fungus was toe fungus cream, right? But I think he also shared, you remember he said as a kid, the only medicine he ever took was a dewormer?
Yes.
And that seemed so, wow, a dewormer. Little did we know that the dewormer known as ivermectin would return to prominence in the American medical establishment with COVID, which happened just, I guess, less than a half a year after we interviewed.
Oh, definitely. And I remember my grandpa, who was raised on a farm from nothing as a kid in the early 1900s, talking about those same types of things out there. If you're listening on the radio, I want to remind people, I'm just watching these clips. It just brings back great memories to see Phil Robertson on video and sharing this. They can watch the video version of this if they subscribe to Pirate Money Radio. We send that
for
out.
For free.
Yeah, absolutely free.
PirateMoneyRadio.com or AFR.net under their podcast.
And this is all on video. You can watch the video version of it, it's just kind of fun to see him on the screen again.
Yep. No, we're talking about the great Phil Robertson. It's fun to see him, to remember him for the robust, powerful man that he was. He's in heaven now with eternal health insurance. But he talks a lot about health insurance. I think this was a fight between him and Ms. K. Phil, we need health insurance. And he's like, we don't need any health insurance. So we'll cover that after the break. And we're not giving health advice here, by the way. I'm not recommending ivermectin for anything. Go see your physician and learn about that. But a lot of people, parasites are tied to cancers and all sorts of things. It seems like. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not I'm not a professionalist. But I will tell you, absolutely, Phil Robertson was one of the very first to give us a modern form of MAHA, right? I think he and Secretary Kennedy
was not a trust in a healthcare system. It's a trust in God, which we all have to continue to focus on.
Yep. So that's eternal healthcare. We're going to talk about eternal healthcare and play a clip from the great Phil Robertson after we take this next break. He talked about health insurance. He's on that plan now. Ms. K is still living. Pray for the Robertson family. But let's learn more from the wisdom of Phil Robertson right after this break. In uncertain times, finding stability in the economy can feel challenging. But what if you could navigate economic volatility while honoring your biblical values? At Timothy Plan, they believe this balance is possible. Timothy Plan filters its volatility-weighted ETFs and family of mutual funds through a biblical pro-life and pro-family lens, so you can see competitive returns and moral responsibility, helping you to weather the economic storms. With Timothy Plan, align your investments with your values while adapting to our ever-changing culture. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has been recognized leader in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan, your bridge between faith, finances, and the future. Visit timothyplan.com or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-846-7526. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal.
Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And Ms. Kasert, are we ever going to get any insurance? Well, when the financial situation, the blessings begin to roll in, all of a sudden, we're going from poor to better than poor, and all of a sudden, we're rich. You're like, I told Ms. Kay, I said, all that insurance you used to talk about, I said, look, we have eternal health care. It's been given to us. We're guaranteed, not only will it help us with our diseases, we're guaranteed to be raised from the dead. So immortality is ours. We have eternal health care. Let's see what the cost is. No, it's free. You like eternal health care and it's free, immortality. But I told her, I said, but if you're concerned, I said, do you have plenty of money now? She said, yeah. I said, well, get all the insurance you want if that's what you want. It's fine with me. I said, hopefully we won't have to use any of it. I will have to admit, when my old prostate acted up, you say they gave you some antibiotics. The old urinary man, he said, you'll have to take these. And I said, why don't we let my antibodies kick in? He said, you've got some kind of bug that's, like E. coli. He said, look, that's a bad bug. You're probably going to need these. I said, let me try it without them first. So about 3 days went by. I said, Doc, you might have had a point. He said, well, these antibiotics have worked real well for you, Phil, because you've never taken any.
Yeah.
He said, this will work wonderful for you because you're certainly not immune to it. So anyway, I took them, and I will have to admit, the old prostate calmed down.
Now that is Phil Robertson, the old this is who he was. He's willing to talk about his prostate.
Raw and unedited.
Raw and unedited. You know, I loved watching Duck Dynasty with my kids. I love the fact that he mentions in that clip, he mentions eternal health insurance being raised from the dead. And he was. His body is alive in Christ right now. His body's dead, but his spirit is alive in Christ right now in heaven. I don't know exactly what that's like, but I'm like, I can imagine the saints that went before him were looking forward to the day to fellowship with Phil Robertson.
For sure. And then there's always Uncle Cy. I'm going to pull up my iced tea here because my kids got me a little Cy teacup and everything. Get some of this tea here.
Yep. Uncle Cy was,
that's good stuff.
Was probably everybody's favorite. He's Phil's brother. He went to Vietnam. He enjoyed, and in fact, he's got a daughter that lives not far from here where we are. And anyway, Duck Dynasty is a program. You look for those shows that you can watch with your kids when they're younger and that are popular and well-known. So many of the shows on television, I can't watch that with them. I used to immediately, you just turn on HGTV. It's safe. They're just going to show homes and remodeling and everything. And then pretty soon they got into the culture war and decided to take a very strong stand on the LGBTQ+ issues. And parents need to make a choice. Is that something I want my kids watching or not watching? So we flipped off that channel, and SpongeBob is not necessarily what I want my younger kids watching, and certainly don't want them getting sassy and all of that and all of that. But Duck Dynasty, that was always fun, always had a good message
to
it.
Yes, and your girls still grew up sophisticated and smart.
Yeah.
And culturally right and aligned. That's all awesome.
What would he have said? He said, yuppies, or prissy little. You know, it's funny, when I'm drinking my coffee here, and I remember one of the phrases he said while we were together is, black coffee. Problem with America, nobody drinks black coffee anymore. Because you have to put all those foo-foo stuff. All right, I admit, I like a latte in the morning. I drink black coffee after that, Phil, but I want the protein of the milk in my latte. And I blame that one on Marnie. When we went on a Weight Watchers diet, you have to have breakfast, and I'm not a huge breakfast eater, and you got to get protein. She figured out I could get my protein in my latte, and then I met my criteria. So now I've got hooked on it. I have a sugar-free latte every morning, and then I drink black coffee the rest of the day.
I'm sure that's a recipe for health.
Yeah. Yeah. So Phil Robertson lived an amazing life. And, you know, he had health problems at the end of his life. It wasn't long. He seemed very healthy when we were with him 6 years ago. But he lived a pretty wild life in his youth. In fact, did you see that movie, The Blind?
Yeah, the movie. And I think that just portrayed part of how wild his life was, you know, from other people we've spoken to. He was until he found the Lord, he was on a very different path.
He was, you know, he was a great football player, but he brought his coach in one time and he had a deer, I think, strung up in his shower that he had killed. And the coach just said, "I'm going to lose you, aren't I?"
Yeah, I think he said he wanted to hunt and do that and not play football. He played quarterback as well. Who was his college football?
Terry Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw. They played football together in high school or something. And he had that type of talent, but then said, "No, I'm not going to do this."
Terry Bradshaw was behind him in the lineup. He was the starting quarterback at Louisiana Tech ahead of Terry Bradshaw. And he could have gone on and had an NFL career as Terry Bradshaw. If you're better than Terry Bradshaw, you're darn good. He got 4 Super Bowl rings at the Pittsburgh Steelers, Terry Bradshaw. Yeah. If you're ahead of him, you're very good. And Phil was very modest. He would say, "I could throw a football a little further than most and a little straighter than most." Yeah, right. You are a star, superstar athlete. But the story is, so he marries Miss Kay Young. He woos her, falls in love with her. She came from the wealthy family, and Phil was from the poor family, right? The wealthy family mean they owned the country store.
Yeah.
And Phil was from the poor family where he'd pay a doctor about $1 for their getting sewn up and things. I mean, that was the surgery. The cost of surgery to Phil Robertson as a kid when he gashed his leg open was about $1. So anyway, if you haven't seen that movie, The Blind, it was a love project of Zach Dasher, and they built it and told the true story of Phil Robertson. He got to tell, you know, he wasn't a good man.
No.
He was married and he had 2 degrees and he could have taught and he could have played football. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to drink, carouse, hang with the boys. He did not want to be, he had kids. He did not want to be tied down to family, disappear for a long period of time, you know, found in bars, serving in bars. You know, this is not your story. You know, his mom was not super excited about young Phil, that super proud of him. So.
Yeah, but that's the transformation that took place. And then to see how God used that and the impact that he's made later in life just shows that, you know, God's got a plan for everybody. And if we follow him, he can do tremendous things for them.
Yeah, and that's what he did for Phil Robertson. And here, you know, later on we'll talk about when he met Trump.
Yes, that's a great story.
The president of, you know, soon to be president in this case when he first met him. And what's he do? He draws what he calls hieroglyphics, and he tells the president about Jesus.
Yeah. He had one thing to share. He only had so much time with him. He had one thing to share.
10 minutes.
And he took the most important thing he had to share that message with Trump. And Trump, to this day, still has that.
Yeah. No, I mean, so you're going to meet President Trump. "Hey, President Trump, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing." Phil Robertson didn't need to do any of that. He was world famous. So anyway, we'll talk about healthcare some more. We'll talk about, you know, Miss Kay and health insurance.
Let's just talk a little bit about Phil and his career even. You know, when he, the Duck Dynasty call thing, did that start out as a big overnight success?
No, it took 35 years.
Yeah.
But he did do it. Anyway, we had a great interview with him. What's our next clip that we've got? It's a little longer than what we can do in this segment. We'll have to put it in the final segment. But Phil talked about money a little bit. He talked about how he got 30 cents per fish for one kind of fish, or 70 cents for a catfish and a whole bucket of it. And he talked about money, but you know, money, he said, "I've been poor and I've been rich." Money didn't really matter to him.
No.
There are 3 things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Phil did all 3. I mean, he gave it and he spent it and he invested it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, do you remember the controversy where who was the big network? A&E, the big network that had Duck Dynasty on?
Yeah.
And they tried to kick Phil off. They wanted the program. They just didn't want Phil praying in Jesus' name.
They tried to censor what he was going to say as the start of censoring free speech.
Yep. And they said, you can't pray in Jesus' name. That might... Phil said it. It might offend some of the Muslims. That's how Phil described it. But it might have offended some of the atheists or some of the Hindi or some of the, you know, anybody else. But Phil said, I don't care. When we pray, we will say in Jesus' name. And he explained that. He says, I don't have a verse that says you must always pray in the name of Jesus, but it's a very good idea, I think. So they would just have me say, thank you, Lord, for the food. Thank you for loving us. Amen. I asked, why would you cut out Jesus' name? They said, well, those editors are probably doing that. They don't want to offend some of the Muslims or something. So he could care less about them. We'll cut you off. You won't sell your duck calls. You won't be able to make the money from the TV show. He said, I don't care. I'm here to serve Jesus and pray in Jesus. I mean, that's the kind of man that Phil Robertson was, and his family continues to believe. At the end of every episode, my favorite Duck Dynasty moment. Do you remember what it says? What he said?
At the end of every episode?
Yep. Thank you, Lord, for another good day on planet Earth. And then the family was eating together and they would pray in Jesus' name. That was the amazing part about Phil Robertson. He didn't care if he was talking to the king or the president or Kevin Freeman or you know the kid down the street, whoever he was talking to, he wanted to share the gospel. He wanted to talk about what Jesus is doing. He wanted to talk about our eternity and the future that we would have if we were in Christ versus the future we would have without. And I tell you, he wanted to talk about fire insurance, among other things, meaning escaping the eternal flames of destiny for those who do not know Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And he would travel church to church all across the country sharing that message. And people say, how did it become such a success overnight? It wasn't a success overnight. It was doing small things and building an awareness. And then slowly that turned into a TV show, which gave him a platform that allowed him to get this message out like nobody else could have done it.
Yo, he took his duck. How did you become a success? He took his duck call and he would go talk to small groups at hunting stores and at, you know, the Bass Pro Shops and everything else. He'd give free talks. Nobody knew who they were. And this guy looked like, you know, like a hillbilly or something, but he built up relationships, and then when he went on television, it was a must-watch show. All right, we've got more wisdom from Phil Robertson right after this break.
Throughout history, the spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Today, in 2024, we find ourselves at a pivotal moment where the call for unity, freedom, and a better future echoes louder than ever. For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream. Because this year is not just any year. It's the most important year since our nation's founding. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yes, and I'm here with Mike Carter, and we're reminiscing about the time we drove to West Monroe, Louisiana to meet with the great Phil Robertson, who just passed away, and we're remembering the wisdom that he shared with us. That was a great trip.
It was, and just the wisdom of Phil and seeing all that he's done to make an impact for the kingdom is encouraging and a role model for myself.
Yeah, so. No, it is a role model. But Phil at first didn't want to talk to us. And, you know, we had the toe fungus incident. I won't repeat it here, but if you didn't hear that, get the podcast. Go back and listen to it. It's a hilarious story. And Mike has washed his hands many times since then.
Here, Kevin, go ahead, shake my hand. Yeah, he's still working. He's still working through some of his.
Now I'll shake your hand. I saw you hand sanitize earlier, so I'm good. Yeah. So Phil Robertson could care less about that. He didn't. You know, he was barefoot. He was sitting on his lazy boy with the duct tape. He was wealthy, but didn't care. So after we had a wonderful time with him, and he didn't want to talk to us. Zach Dasher, his nephew, forced him into it. But afterwards, where did we go to eat? Do you remember?
Well, the only place you go in the South, Cracker Barrel, right?
The only place you go after meeting with Phil Robertson is Cracker Barrel. And we did go by the Duck Dynasty warehouse and bought some, you know, we bought the bobblehead, we bought the duck call, we bought some shorts and different things. But we were there sitting, eating lunch, and phone rings. It says Zach Dasher on it. I was like, oh no, was it okay? Because I really was nervous then. I've gotten a little more comfortable behind the camera or on this side of the camera and the mic and so forth. And I remember Zach called and I said, Zach, what do you think? You know what he said? He said, I was worried. Uncle Phil called and I was worried he was going to be upset. But you know what he said? First words out of his mouth, he said, I believe them boys is Christians.
That changed his approach.
Yeah, and when he knew that we were fellow believers, he did go on and say, they're all right, except they did have a millennial with them. But other than that, he loved us. And it was great. It was a really true memory and one of the highlights of doing the Economic War Room.
Yeah.
That was our episode.
We'll always remember that.
48, yeah. and we just filmed episode 348. So we're 6 years literally past that moment because we do weekly episodes.
Just to be able to see how he thought and how he did different things. You know, I used to be in land development and home building, and the house he bought in a flood zone, and he thought that was the greatest thing ever because if there's floods, there's fish. And
that's
so
right.
The realtor was trying to apologize. I said, well, yeah, it has flooded before. He goes, I'll take it. He goes, that means there's fish here. So his mindset was just refreshing and fun.
Yeah. And when we were together, he shared some great stories. I want to roll one other clip so you can get a feel for Phil Robertson and the secret of his success. Let's go ahead.
My buddies would drive down that I went to college with. I had 2 degrees. You say, why did you take the time to earn the degrees in college? Why did you even attend college? Because I could throw a football further than most, straighter than most. So I was a quarterback from the third grade all the way through high school. Well, colleges all across the United States said, if you will come play football for us, we will pay for your education.
Yeah.
I thought, that's a good deal.
Good trade.
So I chose Louisiana Tech. I was the quarterback right ahead of Terry Bradshaw, who went with the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, drafted. So anyway, so that was that. You say, why did you take the time to get to be educated? Insurance. I said, in case, I don't know whether I'll ever use this education, but I better have it because it will open up doors.
Something you can fall back on.
Yeah. But I had no debt with it because I played football
and
it was free tuition. So I got 1 degree, went back at night, got the other one just in case I needed. Then I told Miss Kay, I have an idea. I taught school, teaching school at the time, not making much money. I said, Miss Kay, this thing tops out at about $40,000 a year if you stay with it till you retire.
Get all the way to the
top. I said, that's the most we'll ever do. I said, I think I can beat it. She said, how are you going to beat that? I said, I reached in my pocket. I said, you see this duck call? She said, yeah. I said, I need to get this on the market. I know it will sell because it sounds like a duck. I know it will work. Here's my plan. Why don't we, you find me a place on the river that's not landlocked. I said, I need to be on a river that runs to the Gulf of Mexico. If we want to go to the Gulf of Mexico, we can just take off and leave. I said, I don't want it landlocked. I want to be free to travel far as I want to go in either direction. I said, find me a place on the river. I'll fish the river and we will survive off the money I make from the fish. I said, I'll get the duck call on the market and you will have that long green in your pocket. I said, God will bless us.
This is something I was taught. When you're an entrepreneur, you need to have your lawnmower money. So where I grew up, you'd cut lawns while you built your business. So you didn't take handouts, you borrowed the least amount that you possibly could, and you had something to survive on. You didn't look for the government. That's right. You looked for your lawnmower money. You take the extra job delivering pizza or doing whatever.
Yep.
And great entrepreneurs do that.
Yep. So we started out like that. My buddies got wind of what I was doing, my college buddies, and they drove down here, guys I played ball with, and they pulled up down here one day. It was a carload of them, and I'm out there patching one of those nets, hook nets, that I'm using to catch fish. Beavers and stuff cut holes in them. So I'm patching this net, and I look up, and they drive up. They walked over there, they looked around, and they said, Robinson, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm fishing the river to survive, selling these fish. That's why I'm patching this net, boys. I said, I'm gonna fish the river with these nets, trot lines and stuff, until my duck call takes off. I'm working on that too. I said, I fish, run my nets, come back, work on the duck call. I said, once the duck call takes off, I said, I'll be good to go. I'll rack my nets, won't have to fish anymore. We'll just live off what I make with the duck call. I said, that's the plan. They said, but you have 2 degrees. I said, I know it. I said, if I need them, this doesn't work.
You got a backup.
I fall back on them. I said, but right now, fish and duck calls.
How
they
long
got back in their rig. See you, Robinson. All right. So they drove away. They told me later, they said, when we drove up the road, we all looked at each other and said, the boy is an idiot. He's a complete idiot. He's down there catching fish for 30 cents a pound. I mean, is he nuts?
How long did it take for the duck calls to take off?
30 years later, they said, we looked up and we said, that sucker is a genius. I went from an idiot to a genius, but it took 35 years.
That's your third key. You told me hard work.
Hard work.
Yep, that's it. Hard work. And this man went from an idiot to a genius that is brought before President Donald J. Trump. Yeah, I remember that story. Let's roll just a little bit of him explaining his time with Trump.
Well, within about 1 minute at the most, since I didn't have but 10, I had a piece of paper with the gospel written out in hieroglyphics, God becoming flesh, Jesus, 2019 years ago, dying on a cross. I had a cross there, a tomb, an arrow coming out of the tomb, and then an arrow coming back down out of heaven. So I got that piece of paper and I said, Trump, whatever happens, I said, don't forget this. He said, what is that? I said, God becoming flesh 2019 years ago, your calendar documents that. It's now 2019 AD, year of our Lord. All the years before we got here are called, Trump, all the years before he got here, yeah. BC. He was like, so I said, he came down and he died on a cross for Donald Trump's sins and all the rest of us. I said, you do have sin, don't you? I was checking to see if he would be honest. He said, oh yeah. I said, well, here's a news flash. So does everyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
So therefore, he died for your sins. They put him in a tomb. I said, Trump, I said, you, me, and all the politicians and everybody else on planet Earth, we have a destiny with the tomb, the grave. I said, it's a problem.
It's appointed for every man to die once.
I said, we can't fix it. But he did fix it. He solved your sin problem and your grave problem amazingly in a 3-day period. I said, just think about that. waited on him for 5,000 years, he shows up and solves all of our problems. He's in heaven now. He mediates for those who are in him. He cleanses them from any mistake they'll ever make. We're under a system of grace, not law. I said, it's a wonderful thing. He said, I said, all we're waiting on now is the return, that era over here, that final era. Jesus returns. I said, don't forget that.
Did it reach him?
He said, I said, have a good day. And I would had the paper in my hand where I wrote it down, the gospel on hieroglyphics. I was speaking to leave. He said, hey, can I have that? I said, sure. And I gave it to him. About a few months ago, he was congratulating me because I wrote a book, The Theft of America's Soul. And I give 10 lies that the evil one has handed down to us that we've taken up. There is no God. Truth is relative. Sex is for self-gratification.
Yeah.
And on it goes. Our struggle, it's all coming from the evil one. But anyway, he calls me up to congratulate me on that book and on the, I'd just done a dental deal with old Cavuto. And he said, I appreciate for you standing up for me or something like that. And he said, I'm glad you got out some Bible out there too, I noticed. I said, yep. So he said, Phil, he said, that paper you gave me? I said, yep. He said, I still have that.
Wow. And he does still have it, I believe. And Phil Robertson's proving eternity now, living in heaven. We honor you, Phil. Thank you for entertaining us and teaching us. Alan and Zach, we're praying for you, friends. We're praying for your family. If you have questions or comments, reach out to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Let's pray and let's believe in God's principles being brought back to us. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kevin Freeman and Mike Carter and Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh.